Now to put to use the technology of the kitchen bench, the laptop and Skype. This is increasingly the way we are talking to each other, and certainly as we find our friends and family live across the world or across the country. But they're just a click away. And not only can you hear them, you can connect with them in person, you can see them. Richard Kirk is a Brisbane-based architect. His firm is Richard Kirk Architect. He does private and public work. One of the big jobs on his drawing board at the moment is the new ABC headquarters in Brisbane. This will be a state-of-the-art modern media building. Today he joins us from his breakfast in Bologna. Hello, Richard.
Good morning. Hello, Jan.
Hi, Richard. Tell us a little bit about where you are.
Okay, I'm in Bologna, which is a very old city. It's a medieval city. And as I look out my window, I look across to another building, which is only 3 or 4 metres away. And I can look into streets where on the ground floor there are shops and restaurants. And above them are apartments like the one I'm in. All the buildings are only 3 or 4 stories high. So you can see the sky and you can actually get breezes and sunlight into these narrow streets. So they're a real hub of activity.
Dan Hill.
Hi, Richard. I was in Turin last week, so I can kind of imagine the public squares full of life or beginning to be full of life throughout the day. And that sort of almost natural mixed use that the medieval city had, in which family life is played out in the street and the street is a kitchen and a restaurant and then a place of work and so on, contrasts so heavily, it seems, with then what we did throughout the 20th century, where we began to separate all of those things out. And so we had the zoning of we'll live over here and we'll work over here and we'll play over here and so on. How do we start, or should we, I suppose, think about knitting those things back together? Are you as an architect thinking about knitting those functions back together so you sort of start getting these mixed-use spaces at both the domestic scale, so in a house, possibly in the kitchen, and then it becomes a place of work later on in the day, or even in a commercial environment, as we are in now, but we're at a kitchen bench talking to someone on Skype in Bologna. So we've got this layering of functions going on. Is that how you increasingly think about buildings and spaces?
Oh, exactly. One of the great benefits we have in working across a whole range of projects, whether they be houses or commercial buildings or institutional buildings, is you start to borrow from each of those project types elements which you use in unusual circumstances. So, for instance, the idea that a commercial building starts to have a social dimension that a house has, like the space you're in, is really exemplified by these cities, which are very rich, three-dimensional layering of a city. So instead of, as Michael Rayner said before, cities being viewed from above and considered in two dimensions, you actually start thinking of them in series of layers, so uses can be put beside one another. And the great benefit of that is people don't have to travel great distances to go from their home to their office or to their workplace. And that's what makes these older cities so interesting to visit, because they tend to layer them and create these fantastic, vibrant communities that work beside one another. And they actually create character through other means rather than just by use. So it's whether the streets were built 600 years ago or whether that part of the town was built 1,000 years ago. It's a different way of making a city, and you do try to make conceive of houses like you do in commercial buildings or larger institutional buildings as having a whole range of social dimension throughout the planning and the way you order them.
How do we then think about that in terms of culture? Because I suppose in the city, again, you're in now, it seems almost natural that Italian culture would play itself out in that kind of space. Almost, I'm stereotyping hugely, but we can all imagine the kind of thing. And yet, again, we have a very different layout here. So I'm wondering whether that was driven by the Australian culture wanting to spread out more. Do you think there's a cultural overlay onto the way those cities have played out, or was it economic development or something driving them?
I think the condition of Australian cities is the original cause were, in some respects, had at their heart the core concept of the compact city or the medieval city, where cities were developed around the idea that movement had to be economical. And Australian cities were also, as they were formed, were very wealthy cities. So particularly a place like Brisbane, as it developed a very sophisticated tram system. But really the greatest proportion of the development of Australian cities has occurred in parallel with the development of the vehicle or the private car. And I think it's the ability to move great distances relatively economically in a car that has really informed the way we make our cities. And land is, it's the more land you build on, usually the more economical it is to build. So in a way, the way that medieval cities were driven to be more compact and walkable just through technological constraints, I think sustainability constraints will start to more or less encourage us or push us towards these more sustainable cities which are more compact and have a smaller footprint.
Richard, thank you. Richard Kirk there on the line from Bologna having breakfast. Richard Kirk there from Richard Kirk Architect. Thank you. Thank you again.